The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Amen. Sure appreciate the good words we've heard. Turn in your Bibles to Luke, the 7th chapter. I want to read a lengthy portion of Scripture here and then talk to you about it. And as we begin looking at this verse of Scripture, I want to ask the question, who is in our details? Who is in our details? Let's read in verse 36 of Luke 7. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe his feet with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed his feet with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, that's about $200, and the other 50, that's about $20. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon. Now this is Simon the Pharisee, not Simon the Apostle, okay? "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Now, it's a lot of scripture to read, and I want to make several comments on it. I don't think we can look at this verse of Scripture and come to the conclusion that Jesus doesn't care about the details of our life. Do you notice in verse 44 down through verse 47 how meticulously he takes apart this scene that he is involved in? Don't forget where he is. He's sitting in the house of a Pharisee who had a burden or a desire to have this man who he knew very little about. He just knew he had done a lot of great miracles. Jesus was very meticulous to take apart this 8 to 10 minute scene in his life and in the Pharisee's life and in this woman's life. We can't come away with this and say that the Lord cares nothing about the details of my life. He very specifically addresses the most minute details that have taken place since he has come into this man's house. Now, the question is, who is in our details? You've ever heard the old saying, the devil's in the details. That is so true, is it not? People come up with great ideas. They say, this is a fantastic idea. You start looking at the fine print of the contract, and I've looked at many. I have people ask me to read contracts all the time. I'll be happy to do it for y'all, no question. But I just want to go on record saying that's the thing I hate the most about practicing law. So a lot of times I'll get to look at this mineral lease, and they do them in like 6-point font. It's unbelievable. I had to get glasses and a magnifying glass out. And you know why they do that? You say, well, they're trying to save space. No, they're trying to pull something on you. Maybe you won't read it. It's so small. The devil's in the details. Let's hope and pray that we can look in the details of our life and see the Lord there. The Pharisee was offended by what this woman did. Now, I want you to notice how I emphasize what she did regarding his feet. I don't know that I've reached a full conclusion in my mind after studying this for weeks. This sermon has been percolating for weeks. I don't know that I've reached a full conclusion, just the full significance of all that, but I can tell you one thing. Something about the feet of Jesus is very important. Because it says that she stood at his feet, she washed his feet, she wiped his feet with the hairs of her head, she kissed his feet, and she anointed his feet. Can we say, regardless of what that ultimately means, and I'm not saying there's some deep, dark meaning there, but I can tell you one thing's for sure, that the feet of Jesus, is they are very important. Now, you bunch of old Baptist feet washers ought to get something out of that, right? Now, Jesus recognized it all. Now, I want you to picture this. Listen to me very carefully. I don't have the ability to convey to you the scene adequately here, but let me just try to give you a little bit of a picture of what's going on here. This is God. I mean, that's shocking in and of itself, isn't it? This is God. This is God in the flesh. Don't you ever forget that. That is a hallmark, cornerstone, non-negotiable truth that Jesus was God in the flesh. I can't explain it. It's a mystery. But you've got God sitting at this, reclining at this man's table. And these other Pharisees are gathered around, no doubt, kind of looking down their nose at him. Simon has not offered him any water to wash his dirty feet with that are covered with sandals and very dirty. Simon has not given him a greeting. He didn't even shake his hand when he came in the house. Didn't even give him a hug when he came in the house. Just say, you sit right here. And he goes and he sits there. And here is Jesus at this very short table. I'm not going to belabor. Y'all know how I feel about the meals we eat in our straight back chairs. But here they are, very relaxed, sitting at this very short table, sitting on pillows. Now, you know, Jesus had to be sitting there on a pillow with his feet sticking out or some way reclined so that his now unsandaled feet were exposed so this woman could stand at it, bow before his feet, cry upon his feet, wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head and anoint his feet with oil. Are y'all with me? So somehow, as he's sitting there, reclined at this table, eating with these Pharisees gathered around in this very prominent house of this very rich and prominent man, God has got his feet sticking out back there. And she's behind back here, this woman who comes in. You know how uncomfortable this situation was, especially for those Pharisees? But God is not uncomfortable at all. The Pharisees are going, what's she doing in here? What servant? I'm going to fire my servant because they let this woman in here. This woman is a prostitute. This woman is a sinner. This woman's not supposed to be in there. But God is very happy that she's in there. And you picture that. The Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh with his feet sticking out over the cushions. And this woman standing there who is overcome and overwhelmed and contrite in her heart is standing before God. But she doesn't stand for long. And it gets even more uncomfortable for those that are there. But she gets down on her knees and begins to cry so intensely and so profusely that she has enough tears coming out of her eyes that it's enough to wash the dirty feet and grimy feet of God. Now, can you picture that? I don't know where Jesus was looking the whole time, but I know at some point that he looked away from the woman and he looked at Simon because he was reading the mind of Simon the Pharisee. That's another little startling tidbit too, is it not? He's reading your mind right now. He knows if you're thinking about who just texted you or who's on Twitter or who what movie's on this afternoon or what you got to go eat this afternoon or where you're going to take mom to eat. He knows what you're thinking right now. And if I just pegged a couple that you were thinking, that's not because I'm God. It's because I've kind of thought the same things myself today. See, I'm a sinner too. But the Son of God is sitting there. Can you just picture him? He knows she's back there. He knows what she's doing. He knows why she's there. And all these men are sitting around going, oh, boy, this is really uncomfortable. Whew. I'm not very hungry anymore. I've kind of lost my appetite. And then she starts washing his feet, and he's just looking at her. God is looking at her as this poor, contrite sinner washes the feet of God. I can just see him looking around the table at those Pharisees as they are so uncomfortable. And Jesus is just as happy as he can be. He's happy. It's one of his, right there. One of his children. And I want you to notice the details that he pays to this child of his. Jesus says to Simon, as Simon is thinking, if this man was God, if this man was God, and I've already told you, and you know, this man is God. If this, that ought to tell us something about our perception of God, right? Because Simon is way off in his perception of God. If this man were God, he wouldn't let this woman touch him. And Jesus looks square in the face at him, and he says, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. That's one of those times when God was directly reading the thoughts of that man. And he's fixing to answer the thoughts of that man. And I tell you, child of God, no matter what thoughts you have, no matter what goes on in your twisted little mind, and I include my own in that from time to time, God has an answer to the thoughts of your mind. He has an answer to it. It may be a good answer. It may be one that you don't, it's always a good answer, but it may be one that you don't necessarily want to hear. And he looks at Simon and he gives him this example of the creditors. He says, one owed about $200, one owed about 20. And he says, Simon, which one of these creditors would love, one of these debtors would love the creditor more if they're forgiven? And notice he says, frankly, he forgave them both because they had not to pay. The one that owed 200 could not pay it back. The one that owed 20 could not pay it back. You understand what that means? When it comes to the forgiveness of our sins, there's nothing we can pay to pay away of the forgiveness of our sins. Nothing. It doesn't matter if you owe $20 or $200 or $10 million. It doesn't matter if you're a thief on the cross or if you're one like Timothy who was brought up in a home with a godly mother and a godly grandmother. You frankly have nothing to pay. Jesus is making that point to him. He's saying, Simon, you don't have enough money to pay the debt that you owe, and neither does this woman. But Simon hadn't quite caught on that Jesus is reading his thoughts yet. And so he says, which one will love him more? And Simon says, well, I suppose it'd be the one that was forgiven more. That's a true answer. And Jesus said, thou hast rightly judged. And now he starts to go into the details. First of all, you picture her there. She's still at his feet. She's drying his feet. She's dried his feet. She's anointed his feet. She's cried on his feet. And either she's standing back now or she's still down there at his feet and just continuing to sob and weep at his feet. And Jesus says, do you see this woman? Now you talk about getting uncomfortable. How would you like it if somebody that you had as a guest in your home came into your home and began to address the way that you had been hospitable or not been hospitable to them? Years ago when we first started hosting, began to host ministers and families, Sister Tracy made it a habit of giving a gift to the ministers and their families that come. And it might just be a family gift. It might be something for the husband, something for the wife, depending on who came. And I was like, you know, you really have to do that? You know, I just wasn't on the same high wavelength that she was on. I was like, really? A candle? Do you think they really want a candle? I mean, I just need to just shut up, you know? And I finally did shut up. Because I just didn't quite see that. I thought, well, you know, they're just seeing me is enough, you know? I'm enough. That's enough of a gift. See, twisted-minded sinners like me think that way. But what she was doing was a great thing. It went along with hospitality. She still does that to this day. And Jesus starts, how would you like it if somebody got in the... How would Sister Tracy like it if she gave somebody a candle and the person said, well, you know, I don't really like that flavor. You take it back. That'd be very uncomfortable and embarrassing. But here's the Son of God. Here's God who has every right and every authority to pick out the details of what's going on here. And notice how he picks them out. He said, you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water. I find myself often when people come and visit, I said, would you like something to drink? We don't wash feet anymore because we don't have the dirty feet issue going around with sandals like we do. But it could be as simple as saying, can I get you something to drink? Can I offer you a snack? Do you need anything? Would you like a cup of coffee? It's as simple as that. I'm telling you, you can identify the tendencies of Phariseeism and hypocrisy if the simplest little detail like that is not paid attention to. I'm not accusing anyone here of this, of course, but I just want you to see how Jesus picks apart the details here, because he is a God of details. Don't you ever forget it. He cares about your details. He cares about my details. And I want you to see from this example, he's not sitting there going, I'm going to smash you if you're not complying with the appropriate details. No, he doesn't. He's not there to smash. He doesn't smash Simon, does he? Well, let me say this. He doesn't smash him in one sense, does he? But he gets to his heart, for sure. If he's a child of God, and I believe he is, I believe that's why he was called by name, Simon the Pharisee. He gets to his heart. He smashes him in another way. I would much rather be smashed in the heart than the Lord to directly, openly smash me somehow in some circumstance. Wouldn't you? I feel like I've experienced that a time or two in my life when he was chastening me. I would much rather have my heart chastened than to get whipped out there like my dad used to whip me. He says, "See thou this woman, I entered into your house and you gave me no water for my feet." Ooh, boy, that hurt if you're the host, right? That hurt. But watch what he says. "But she hath washed my feet with tears." You see, Jesus, in the details right here, he sees that the tears of this woman are the washing agent or the water that is there to wash his feet with. Tears. We don't like to cry, do we? There's an old saying, you know, don't, you know, if you're a man, a real men don't cry. That is so not true. Real men do cry. Real men do pour out the cleansing agent here from their eyes. That's what tears are in one sense. They're cleansing agents. Have you ever had just a good cry and you felt better? Lord, I know I have. I know I've steeped up sin in my life and piled it up high and said, "Look at that pretty pile." And nobody's messing with my pile of sin. I had a right to do this. I was justified to say this. It doesn't matter. I'll just pile up my sin until it just topples over on top of me, crushes me, and I fall to my feet, I fall to my knees, and I say, "Lord, forgive me," and I cry it out, and I feel better. I recommend it. So instead of just waiting for that big pile of sin to topple over on top of you, push it over yourself and get down on your knees. Just go ahead and repent and say, I'm worthless. I'm no good. I'm sorry, Lord. And maybe to the people in your life that you need to say you're sorry to also. Tears. Jesus recognized in the details that her tears were was water to wash his feet. It was a welcoming gesture. You get that? So don't be afraid to cry. Don't be afraid to shed tears. Don't be afraid to pour out your heart to the Lord. You may say, "I'm so hard-hearted that I can't squeeze a tear out." Pinch yourself and maybe want to come out. I'm not encouraging self-harm. I don't mean that. But you got them in there, and they are a welcoming gesture to your Lord. In the details of your life, your tears and your contrition over your sin is something that welcomes Jesus. And she, the woman, the sinner, she found meaning in this, did she not? It was an expression of love. How many wasted tears had this woman cried because she had lived her life in such a horrible way? How many lovers had she had? And how many men had she entertained? And then you find her crying in her room. And yet here she is at the feet of Jesus, and she's finding meaning in her tears now. She's expressing love to the Lord by pouring out her tears upon God. Every tear you cry upon God is not a wasted tear. Jesus says, you gave me no water. She's washed my feet with her tears. And she has wiped my feet to dry them with the hairs of her head. Jesus saw this woman's hair as a towel to wipe his feet. You ladies love your hair, don't you? I love it too. I love the way you tease your hair, you comb your hair, you fix your hair. Sister Tracy will ask me, "Well, you want me to do a ponytail?" Not me. She's asking herself. She says, "You want me to do a ponytail? You want me to put it back? You want me to let it down?" I'm like, "I don't care. I love it any way you do it. I love it any way you do it." And you ladies will just sit there and brush, 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 brush. The next time you're brushing your hair in the mirror, and all of your hair is beautiful. The next time you're brushing your hair in the mirror, maybe you'll think about this. What if I could take my hair? My hair's not long enough. But what if I could take my hair? I could put my hair that I prize, that is beautiful, and I could put it on the feet of Jesus and wash tears or wash dry the tears from his feet. Next time you're brushing through your beautiful hair, think about that. Having the hair down in this culture, my understanding of this culture, having the hair down was not very common. It was not a common thing. So this woman's got her hair down, which was very uncommon. And she's down at the feet of Jesus, and she's got the locks of her hair. And she's dried her hair. Her hair is wet with her own tears. And her hair has the grime and the dirt and whatever he walked in, the mud of the streets that he had walked through. She's got it in her hair now because she's dried it off of him. See? You know, I like the old saying. I think Elder Sam Bryant, I think I heard him say this, Brother Neil, that nothing we have is too good for the Lord, but nothing we have is good enough for the Lord. You catch that? And I believe this woman believed that nothing she had, I'm not too good to use my hair, to use as a towel to wipe his feet. And yet she felt like what she had was not good enough. But in the details that Jesus was involved in, it was good enough. God lets this woman dry his feet with the hairs of her head. How many times had she brushed her hair with a comb or with a brush? How many times had she made it look beautiful for the occupation that she was involved in? And yet now, her hair has taken on a whole new meaning because Jesus is in the details. He says, "Thou gavest me no kiss. You gave me no greeting. You gave me no hug. You gave me no handshake. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet." I mean, my goodness, already uncomfortable enough. Did you know a time or two that I've sat there and when I've washed feet and I've thought about this verse and I thought about, it's already weird enough washing this brother's feet. What if I leaned down and kissed his feet? Everybody go, ooh. But it's really strange. And here's a woman kissing the feet of a man. And everybody's going, ooh, man, it was gross enough that she was using her hair to dry it and her tears to wash it. And now she's putting her lips on his feet. She's putting her lips on the feet of God. Let me tell you, there's no better place that your lips could be than the feet of God. A kiss is a very intimate thing. Let me tell you something. Anybody that has been frivolous with their kisses throughout their life and just giving them away here and giving them away there, this boyfriend, girlfriend, anybody that has been frivolous with their kisses, someday, absolutely, as a child of God, they will regret it. They will regret it. Because when they find that one, and they know that's who God wants them to only give their kisses to, they will think back and they'll say, "Oh, I wish I had only ever given my kisses to this one person." And let me tell you something, how many times did this woman who was a sinner of the city give her kisses away? Are you with me? That was her occupation. To give away kisses. And all of those kisses had no meaning in her life. That intimate fastening up, which is what the definition of kiss means, that intimate fastening up had nothing but pain for her. It was nothing but sorrow for her until she came and she kissed the Son. Let me tell you, she thought about this kiss for the rest of her life. The kisses that she bestowed upon the feet of the Son of God. That's what she remembered for the rest of her life. And I tell you this, a kiss means nothing in this world until you come and kiss the Son. Let me tell you, in an intimate, loving relationship where you understand that God is your husband, God is your king, and this woman had the blessed opportunity to come to the feet of God there in this man's house, regardless of how uncomfortable or how embarrassing it was, she kissed the feet of God. You say, ooh. I say, oh, if it could have only been me. If I could have only been there to have kissed the feet of God and stand in time immemorial as a person like this woman who had been in the presence of God and kissed his feet. It says, "My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." Have you noticed that this ointment is the only thing so far outside of the resource of her body? Her tears came out of her eyes. Her hair was on her head. You see, her kiss came from her lips. This is the only thing outside the basic resource of her body that she used. And I was studying, looking back over that this morning, and I was thinking I remembered something in the Old Testament. This was myrrh, by the way, perfume. And I was thinking, there's something just itching me in the back of my head in the Old Testament. So I turn to Proverbs 7 and verse 17, where it says of the harlot, she said to the young man, y'all remember this? She said, "I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon."
How many times had this woman taken the perfume of myrrh and perfumed her bed with myrrh? And she takes that same myrrh now, and she says, God, forgive me for how I lived. God, have mercy upon me for what I've done. And she takes that same perfume, and she anoints the feet of Jesus with it. How about that? What a change. How often had she done that? And now she gets to take this perfume, and she anoints the feet of Jesus. You understand what this is saying? This is saying that Jesus cares about the details of our life, and His providence and mercy is so overruling and overcoming and overwhelming in the life of a child of God that they can take something that they used to use in some illicit activity like perfume of myrrh and bring it and put it upon Jesus, and it has a whole new meaning because of the overruling power and mercy of God. She wasn't going to bedeck her bed anymore with the perfume of myrrh. No, she's going to bedeck the Son of God. Now, you know, the Pharisee was offended. He was offended. He gave no water. He gave no greeting. He gave no oil. And here we have this woman who offered as a demonstration of her deep contrition of her sin. Now, this is what I want you to get in closing. Please get this. Please get this. Her actions of doing what she did, and Jesus taking note of these actions in the details of her life, her actions directly related with her level of understanding of her sins. You know, we don't want to think about that today. I just want to feel good. I don't want to feel bad. But I'm telling you, there is an element, a cleansing element in a child of God feeling bad over their sins. Because that drives you to the feet of Jesus. And this woman, notice, and you can't miss this now because Jesus gave the creditor example. Jesus recognized this. He said, there's one that owes 200, there's one that owes 20. Who's going to love him more if they're both forgiven? He recognized that this woman was one that owed so much because of her sin and because of how she lived. And her actions were directly connected with her comprehension of her sin. And look what she did. She used the resources she had. She uses her tears. She uses her hair. She uses her lips. And she uses what she had there for myrrh and perfume. And Jesus recognized that this was a great thing that she had done. And her actions are directly connected with her comprehension of her sin. I pray to the good Lord that you recognize the level of offense that your sin has caused God. And I pray that I recognize that. Her sins were many, but she loved much. There is a direct connection between what we bestow upon the Lord, how much we bestow upon the Lord, and our comprehension of our sin. Does your comprehension of your sin drive you to the feet of Jesus to stand there and weep salty tears? Does it cause you to cast yourself to the feet of Jesus in hopes of finding just a scrap of mercy there at His blessed feet? And does it cause you to wet His feet with tears and a cleansing sense? You understand, Jesus didn't need the woman to cleanse His feet. No, it was for the woman. It was for her benefit that she was blessed to be able to cleanse the feet of Jesus. It was cleansing her as she was cleansing His feet. See? And she's dealing with her own contrition and her sin. And does a recognition of our sin and comprehension of how much we have offended God lead us to dry His feet with our tears? And she just used the resources that she had. Oh, Lord, please let me be at Your feet and just use the resources that I have. Does it lead me to expend my resources so it fills the room with a sweet smell like the perfume of myrrh did? Or does the stench of my sin come up before the Lord and cause Him to go, ooh, that smells terrible? You say, how do we relate to that in real life? Think about your house. Think about the things that rise up to the Lord from your house. If the Lord comes to your house, is He welcome there because prayers have been offered up from time to time in the morning and throughout the day? Or is He smelling the stench of some filthy TV show or some filthy video game that's being played there or something else that you can name or something that you shouldn't be looking at? Does He smelling that stench and going, ooh, this is terrible? You see, the Lord's into those details. The Lord is intimately involved in the details of our lives, yours and mine. So the next time that you think about turning that show and you see my ugly face, I remember what Brother Tim's read. Just please remember, it's really not my face. It's not my face that counts. It's the face of Jesus. My face is not the face of Jesus. I may be the messenger. I may tell you that he's into the details of your life, but it's not me. It's him. Does the level of my contrition, the level of my conviction, show up in the minute details of my life and how I speak to people and how I interact with people and the things I watch and the things that I do? We can reach no other conclusion here other than the fact that Jesus is into the details of our life. What a blessing this woman got. You know what he said? This woman who was overwhelmed and overcome, you know what he said? He said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee. Go in peace." You think she got what she came for? I'm telling you, she got more than she came for. And that's the way it is when you always come to the feet of Jesus and use the details of your life to his glory. If there's one or more here, we give you the opportunity to focus on the details of your life by coming and confessing that he's your only hope. Coming and kissing the feet of Jesus. Coming and wetting the feet of Jesus with your tears. That's what it means when we publicly come and confess him and say, "I want him to be in the details of my life." One way to do that is to follow the Lord in New Testament baptism. We give you that opportunity as we stand and sing some song.